deep in the backwoods of America,
we have climbed the highest mountains,
searched the densest forest,
dragged the swamps,
and scoured the prairies to find our leader, retired U.S. Marine gunny, Bud Cornwell.
Welcome back, great patriots of America. This is the Patriot Cause, and you're on with the gunny. I have a very special guest, a great friend of mine, and most importantly, a fellow veteran that has done tremendous effort and work in his life for the cause of freedom and the Marine Corps and our mission. And without further ado, I want to introduce you to Major Tom Reardon of Tennessee. Welcome, Tom. Glad to have you.
Oh, it's great to be here, Gunny.
So, why are you a Marine? Why did you become a Marine?
I remember as a young man, young kid, watching the news and seeing the Vietnam veterans come home and being just abused by people protesting and harassing them. And I just, at that young age, I must have been 10 or 12, thinking they weren't volunteering for this. They were drafted. And they still served honorably. And, yes. And for them, I wanted to honor them. I thought about that as I grew up, and it just made sense for my life when I graduated from high school to go into the Marine Corps.
Awesome. It's kind of weird, not just, you know, counteracting your experience. I'm just going to tell you mine, which is kind of unusual. I was a jock in junior high school, you know, the quarterback of the team, all of that stuff. But I had a scout master in the Explorer Scouts, which is from 14 to 20, was a retired U.S. Marine. He retired in 1976. He was at the Chosin Reservoir, just to give you an example of his background, did two tours in Korea, three tours in Vietnam. He was my second dad. And in my mind, he was my dad. And this is how I joined the Marine Corps, because he instilled in me the virtues even before I became a Marine. And just to give an example, when I went to boot camp, it was easy, if you know what I'm talking about. Sure. But the point is, we all are called at some point in our time as veterans to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. And this is what Tom and I are doing. We're not supporting any type of political effort or politics or people running. We are more concerned about those people that supposedly raised their right hand to support and defend the Constitution. But as we know, that is not happening on both sides of the spectrum. So we need to understand that we must fight for the Constitution. And fortunately, Tom and I are both part of a great organization called the Convention of States, where we're trying to and succeeding to raise a grassroots organization to amend the Constitution so that we can hold the government accountable for their actions. That's really how simple it is. So, Tom, where did you become involved in COS?
Well, like you said, I enlisted and served with some really great people in 1980. And one of my first leaders was a master sergeant who served in Vietnam. And he saw something in me I wasn't aware of, but he thought I should be a leader. So he coached me and helped me get into the, get into an officer program. And one of the things he said to me is, remember from where you came. And as a leader, that means take care of your troops.
Absolutely. And,
I ended up becoming a pilot, and just in training, we lost dozens of men and women to mishaps. And these mishaps, you don't have to be doing something wrong. Things happen.
Yes.
And you still serve honorably. But then we also had some wars in the time I was in. And after I retired, we had some more wars. And I'm doing this because, I was working as a financial advisor, watching, the banks, the greed of the banks and people, destroy our world economy. And then others lost their jobs. And then the banks started closing on their homes, and the government bailed them out. And this is not what I defended. And so I got involved with Tea Parties, and I was up in Illinois, and I just did that for a while, and it was not effective. We didn't accomplish anything. We've got millions of people involved, but they were still winning elections, and they were still, making policies that were hurting people. I it's a long story, but I went back into flying. They needed pilots in Afghanistan, and I wanted to make sure all our people came home. So I went back and served as a civilian contract pilot in Afghanistan, just to help, people come home. And I think that what triggered me to get involved with COS was, when Biden abandoned Afghanistan like he did.
Yeah.
None of us believed we should have been there in the first place for as long as we have been, but that's not how you leave.
No.
So that's what triggered me to get involved again with COS. I don't know if that answers your question, if there's something else about that, but that's, I just believe that, you can't elect people to fix the country. They're not going to. The process is already far beyond that. We, the people, have to fix the process so that the people we elect actually work for us and not the corporations, which is who they work for now.
Right. And the thing about it is, we're many people have come to the conclusion that you can't vote the corrections in DC. You can, we think we can, but the lobbyists, the billionaires, the millionaires have control of these people. For example, you can get elected into the Senate or the House in Washington, D.C., and within 2 to 4 terms in the House, you become a multimillionaire. Yeah. And in 6 years in the Senate, you become a multimillionaire. And it's, it's just what the swamp, as we call it, is. But what it really is the failure of these people that are elected to support and defend the Constitution and the people that elected them in the first place. And we see this across the United States over and over again.
Well, studied when I was up in Chicago, you know, as a financial advisor, and I ended up losing my business. I went and earned my MBA at the University of Illinois, and I studied finance and marketing. And I remember asking, I asked my finance professors, how did they do this? How did they collapse the world economy? We had laws in place to,
right,
to protect the markets and people's wealth. And I learned that, you know, Clinton in 99 deregulated the banks.
Yep.
And within 10 years, we collapsed the world economy. And then Obama bails out the banks. And here's something that a lot of people don't realize is both of them, after they left the White House, set up foundations in their name and were awarded hundreds of millions of dollars. Clinton was nearly $500 million and Obama was almost $1 billion. And so, you know, and the other thing that people don't realize, too, is that the election laws have changed. In the 70s, they created the Federal Election Commission, which established the rules for corporations to give money to campaigns. And what people don't realize is for 200 years, corporations and even the super wealthy were limited. Corporations could not give money, and the super wealthy were limited to only give what we could give as the average citizen. But they created these new rules. These people are given way more than we can. And so, you know, I kind of laugh when I hear politicians asking me for $5 or $10. What good is that going to do? You're getting millions of dollars from other people to do what I don't want.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's all part of the system, as we call it. You know, and the thing about it, in my mind, being part of Convention of States, is when I first joined or got presented with the concept, I'm like, okay, yeah, you know, like you're going to get all these states to agree to actually, you know, change the Constitution or amend the Constitution to hold the government accountable. Right. But what I knew at the time as a government employee is the government is huge. I mean, it's gigantic. I was part of that system and I understood that. So explain to me how are you going to take and refocus the same people back in the day, George Washington and the days of those that fought for liberty and freedom. How are you going to get these people to stand up against the government? Well, like you're talking about, you know, the last probably 100 years or so, the people are being directed by communism. They're not being directed by the virtues of the founding fathers that created this country. And as far as I know, other than the Heritage Foundation and the Convention of States and Patriot Academy, I don't know of any other organizations that are trying to get us back into that mindset that you as a person have God-given rights. Your rights are not determined by a legislator. And this is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with millions and millions, probably 50%+ of Americans that have no clue what this concept is. And this is why we're fighting this, right?
Right. Now, I hate to do this, bud, but I really have to be somewhere else. And I love where this is going.
No problem.
I can go on and on with this. So can we re-engage with this like in the next day or so?
Or no, even absolutely. Later
today?
No problem.
What you just talked about is my motivation, and the only way we're going to win this is we got to convince more and more people. I can give you a couple. I just talked to a buddy of mine up in Chicago who is absolutely clueless about what's going on, and I think I found a crack in his armor and got him to think.
Amen.
You know, and that's my mission is to, because I don't have anything against liberals and the people on the left.
Right.
Most of them have no idea what they're going toward.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. It never has. And every generation has people that fall for it, and some of them lose their countries and totally regret what they did.
And that's what we're dealing with.
And that's
Tom,
what we're
thank
playing.
You. Yep. Tom, thank you for much for joining. We'll get back and do another podcast together. And your advice, your experience, what you have gone through to put you into this situation of saving our country is important. This is what this podcast is, so that we can understand how the communism has infiltrated our country and what we can do to save it. Thank you so much for joining.
Thank you. God bless you.
Talk to you later. Yep.
All right.
The United States Constitution was written to form a more perfect union that would enable checks and balances to prevent a bloody revolution from being a necessary measure to abolish tyranny. Excellent though it was, Colonel George Mason feared the national government might one day end in a tyrannical aristocracy. The rights of the people needed to be secured against potential corruption at the national level. One of the solutions the framers decided upon can be found in Article 5, which gives state legislators the authority to call a convention that bypasses federal legislators to amend the Constitution. That gives we the people the opportunity to make some long overdue structural adjustments. Maybe term limits would be a good place to start. Here's how the process works. Citizens request their state legislators to pass a bill called an application with operative language identical in each state. These legislators of the states then pass the application. Generally, only a simple majority is needed. Congress shall, by law, call a convention of the states as soon as it receives applications from 2/3 of the state legislatures. That's 34 states. Delegates chosen by the state legislatures attend the convention. Each state only gets one vote at the convention, but they can send as many delegates to represent the state as they so choose. Amendments are proposed, debated, and voted upon at the convention. Finally, ratification takes place in the states. Each amendment must be ratified by 3/4 of the states in order to become part of the U.S. Constitution. But what about a runaway convention?
Con.
Let's get a reality check. Like constitutional law scholar Robert G. Nadelson says, there are far more political and legal constraints on a runaway convention than on a runaway Congress. The convention delegates, also called commissioners, are bound to the will of their state legislatures. If they don't vote as their states demand, they get recalled. You might even get sent to prison. Furthermore, a full 3/4 of the state legislatures, we're talking 38 state legislatures, must ratify each and every amendment in order for it to become part of the U.S. Constitution. Even Alexander Hamilton and Abraham Lincoln, who favored national government, emphasized that Article 5 gives states authority over the national government. Hamilton writes that national rulers have no option upon the subject. The words of Article 5 are peremptory. The Congress shall call a convention. And Lincoln says the convention mode seems preferable in that it allows amendments to originate with the people themselves. Article 5 Convention of the States is a safe route to stopping federal overreach. Civilizations rise and fall. Let's be a civilization that saw the cycle of collapse coming and broke it.
great patriots. I know that you want to be involved in saving our country. And there are multiple things that we can do. One, we can vote for the right people in Congress, as usual, and nothing will change. Or we can stand up as citizens to defend the liberties of this country that is being degraded by the swamp in D.C. And the only way we can do it is you stand up, the people of America. Convention of States is standing up to raise a grassroots organization for self-governance through the Constitution, which we have in place to do what is right according to the founding fathers that understood that tyranny will take over this country, which they had. So I'm asking you, join Convention of States. Join any local organization, your school boards, your ability in your local government to listen to your mayors, to listen to your sheriffs, to do the things that are necessary to save this country. And with that, I thank you for being part of the podcast, The Patriot Cause. This is The Gunny out.
I wish the buck was still silver and it was back when the country was strong. Back before Elvis, before the Vietnam War came along. Before the Beatles and yesterday, when a man could still work and still would. It's the best of the free life behind us now. The good time's really over for good. I wish Coke was still cola and a joint was a bad place to be. It was back before Nixon lied to us all on TV. Before microwave ovens, when a girl could still cook and still would. It's the best of the free life behind us now. The good times really over for good. I'll be rolling downhill like a snowball headed for hell, with no kind of chance for the flag or the Liberty Bell. I wish a Ford and a Chevy would still last 10 years like they should. All right. The best of the free life behind us now. The good time's really over for good. Stop rolling downhill like a snowball headed for hell.
Sing it with me.
Stand up for the flag and let's all ring the Liberty Bell. Let's make a Ford and a Chevy that would still last 10 years like they should. Cause the best of the free life is still yet to come. The good times ain't over for good.